Hi, everybody. Welcome back to What's the Point, the podcast from Trinity Lutheran Church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Yay. I'm Heather, and I've got some friends with me today.
Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Tom.
With a super radio voice.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Hello.
Already. So
welcome back. We're in the midst of a series where we're talking about worship.
Yes.
So we'll get to that in a minute. But before we start, I'm looking out the window. It's sunny. I see like shadows, right?
Which are you a groundhog? Sunlight.
Your office earlier, the window's open.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so nice in there.
Oh, yeah. A little airflow, yeah. Right? So like it's getting warmer. Okay, so I want to know, what does that remind you of? What's something you're looking forward to? This is like, this is starting to get to be normal and not just like, whoa, this is creepy that it's so warm. Like, this is real. So what are we looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to going camping. I have at least one, possibly two trips planned in June. And then I think my family, we're all going to try to go together at least once or twice this summer. And then Jake and I will probably just go on our own again in August and whatever.
Do you camp in a tent or camper?
We camp in a tent.
That's brave of you.
It's true camping.
Yeah. No, it's great. Impressive. It's great. I will say though, we're a little bit bougie in the sense of we have a really big tent. But it's because,
you need more room for activities.
Right? Well, it's the two of us, but then because we bring our dog, and especially when we started off bringing him camping, we would put his kennel up, and we have just an obnoxiously huge kennel for the size that he is.
So you put the kennel in the tent?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he would sleep in the kennel. But now I think we could get away with just bringing his bed and he'll be fine. Although,
what kind of dog is he?
He's a mutt.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like 50 pounds roughly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think we could get away with just bringing his bed and putting it at like on the ground by our bed and he'd be totally fine. But there is a lot of extra space in there and we didn't realize that there was going to be so much when we bought it. So now we're just like, well,
here's the living room.
Right.
Here's the kitchen.
Pretty much.
So it's like a Hogwarts tent when they're doing the Quidditch bit.
Yeah, it really is.
That's so cool.
My family went camping last year and I told my mom and my brother, my oldest brother, I said, so we have a holy heck ton of space in our tent. So if you don't want to buy or like pay for three campsites, you could just
Everybody could fit in your tent.
Pretty much. Perfect. Except... So Jake and I, we're very simple. We like our tent. My dad, on the other hand, oh my gosh, that man cannot go without his air conditioning. So they have a camper that like has the air conditioning in it and he goes to take naps in his air conditioned camper probably two or three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it's all the rest of us are sitting outside like, what is he doing? Why is he in there? Yeah,
he's hibernating.
Is great, but
like I'm not a camper, so that like I would do that.
That's fair.
I enjoy air conditioning.
That's fair. I like camping. Oh, well. Let me make a fire. Let me pitch a tent. Let me go fishing. Oh, I'm also very excited for fishing. Yeah, but yeah, that's what we plan on doing. We're just gonna go camping a bunch.
It sounds like a blast.
It will be
awesome.
Yeah.
What about you?
No, you have to go next because I don't have an answer yet. I'm still thinking.
You know, I guess I really just want to get my patio set up. I know I should have gotten my patio set up a lot sooner. Like, the stuff is out there, but it's not the patio yet.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed working outside when folks were working from home. That was really nice to do. And even here at church, like working outside on the in the courtyard is nice, but it's just so sunny.
Yeah.
My tender scalp burns quite easily. I'd like to be able to set that up and utilize that more often of working from home. But also like this is the year when I need to do like some big dad things, like get the training wheels off.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah.
Need to do more lemonade stands.
Sure.
Need to, like...
Oh, my gosh. Tell me when you're going to have lemonade. I will totally come spend, like, at least a dollar.
Perf.
I mean, your kids are, like, prime time summer play outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's lovely. Yeah, we need to get the backyard in full get-up so that we can just sit and enjoy the children running mm-hmm. around, because right now there's just stuff.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. That's another one of my goals this summer too, is we don't have like a true patio, but we do have a three-season porch. And then, our landlord like slapped some tiles onto the ground, I think at one point, to call it a patio.
Cute.
Sure. I'm not convinced they're really outside tiles, but they're there. But then Don here, last week, he brings in this box of like the rope lights, you know?
Yeah.
He just brought in a box of those to the food pantry, and I happened to be in there, and he's like, do any of you have any interest in this? And it's like, it's a bunch of rope lights. And I looked at it and I was like, if you guys don't want it, I will happily take it, because this is what I want for a little patio three-season porch kind of deal. So I get to put those up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stoked about it. I know.
Sounds lovely.
I was also going to talk about my porch. And I keep looking at these lights, right? But I also really hate bugs.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I'm like, well, when would I use the lights? Because it's hard to be out there after dark mm-hmm. because that's when the bugs are out. And then if you add lights, then there's even more. So I have issues. Really, my dream is to have a screened-in porch.
Yeah.
We'll see if that ever happens. But yeah, we just got some new patio furniture, and I got, I was at Aldi the other day, and they got
poofs. Nice stuff. Yeah.
Like outdoor poofs.
Yeah.
Because with my new patio furniture, I'm like, oh, if I'm going to sit here and read, I need to be able to put my feet up. So I got an Aldi poof, and it's perfect. Ooh. So to sit out on my porch with like a beverage, either in the morning or evening, and a book, and like that is
ooh, yes. That sounds really nice.
That's what I need the sunshine for.
That does sound nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about worship.
Yeah.
Okay.
We already did an episode where we kind of talked about liturgy and I don't know, whatever that first one was about.
Yeah.
And then we did an episode about sermons.
Sort of. And Baby Got Back.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
And next week, we're going to have a special guest come on to talk to us about music in worship. So that's exciting to have a guest.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that leave? What else are we talking about with worship?
Well, I was kind of hoping we'd talk about some of the, I guess I would call it seemingly random stuff that we have in worship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Miscellaneous.
That's exactly it. Miscellaneous. So like here at Trinity, we have every fifth Sunday, we have a healing rite, which was completely foreign to me. Like I've done that once or twice, but to have it as a regular, a regularly scheduled event was like, whoa, that's kind of weird. I've only usually done that in a hospital setting or something like that.
Oh.
But then I got to thinking, like, well, we also have, like, blessings for a bunch of random things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, like, we do.
Backpacks.
We bless them.
Mm-hmm. We bless them. We certainly do. Some people bless, like, hunters on opening weekend.
Oh.
And some pastors will even wear, like, a blaze orange stole.
Mm-hmm.
Big mood.
One. Interesting.
Yeah.
Does that not happen here? That doesn't not, happen here.
Trinity not hasn't done it.
Trinity. I've never seen that.
Y'all are missing out. That's
I did a
good time.
I did a blessing of the fishing rods one summer.
Oh, that's cool.
So I got like all the kids together to bring their fishing rods to church. And then they went fishing together. It was really cute.
You got my favorite blessing of the pets or animals or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're doing that this summer, and I'm stoked I get to do it.
Was that supposed to be a secret?
I don't know.
looks
Katie,
like
Katie just broke the news.
Snake's out of the bag.
Ha ha.
Gross. Katie's bringing her snake.
I am.
Whisper.
So everybody else should bring all of their animals to the.
You should.
July's Trinity's July Praise in the Park.
Is it the 23rd?
Yes.
Sounds about right. Yeah. Okay. So July 23, we'll have a blessing of pets. So bring your dogs, bring your cats, maybe a donkey.
Oh my gosh, somebody please bring a donkey.
Little Sebastian.
Or a cow.
There were horses at Trinity yesterday.
I know.
A pony ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could get a pony to come get blessed. That would be so cool.
Maybe it'll turn into a unicorn then.
Fingers crossed.
That would be great.
So anyways, super random stuff that gets blessed or that we ritualize in worship. And I just thought we'd explore that. So like, are there any other random things that come to mind?
Like random worshipy kind of things?
Yeah, that we might bless or sanctify in some way.
Well, I always think it's interesting when we have installations.
I was going to say that too.
Like we install, as a part of worship, we install council members, we install teachers, we install home communion visitors.
Yeah.
I wonder, it's not, I suppose it would be a blessing, like we'll have, say before a mission trip, we'll send them off with, it's probably more of a blessing than an installation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are all kind of interesting add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's, and it we set it apart, right? Because it's not just like mentioned when we have intercessory prayers or prayers of the people or prayers of the church with that kind of call and response format. It's they're not just lumped into that sort of setting. We set it apart to lift them up a little bit. And I'm not sure that we are trying to, approach it with some sort of superstition, like they can't go on a mission trip unless they're blessed.
Right?
Heaven forbid, you know? But I think it's just a way to, just like the communal recognition and blessing and praying for a group set apart or at least lifted up on a particular day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we're trying to, I don't know, say they're better than others or anything like that. It's just a special recognition. I don't know if that's right or wrong.
So it seems like some of these things are like blessings of inanimate objects.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like backpacks or fishing rods. And some of them are more like blessing of people who are doing a particular thing, whether it's fishing or
hunting.
Right. Or bringing home communion or teaching or whatever. But I'm curious, like, how do those worship services get put together? Like, are there like official liturgies for like blessing hunters, or do you just like make it up?
The Google. I mean, I literally, whenever I've done something like that, I usually ask pastors I know that have done it and they'll send me their stuff or point me in the right direction. But I haven't seen like official liturgy.
So in your like nerdy how to do worship books that you have in your office, which you didn't bring with you. So they don't have like, here are all the special blessings or rites or something that you can add in.
You know, so the super nerdy, very technical playbook that I have is for the Lutheran Book of Worship, which I think was released. Oh, gosh. It's the green one. I can't remember when it was released.
In the 80s.
Okay.
Right, because wasn't that like when the ELCA kind of formed? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then that was kind of...
So I think it was 78 because something's telling me... Because the Missouri Synod was a part of it.
Oh, right.
But then when the ELCA, they were like, nothing, some good. Anywho, so they were very technical on what should be in a worship service and how to act and perform. Like, okay, Katie, you're gonna laugh about this.
Oh gosh. Okay, please tell me you're gonna tell the story that we just talked about before this.
Okay, well maybe, I don't know. An altar space.
Yeah.
Must be square or rectangular.
Why?
What? Yeah. That's, what are the theological reasons? That was the question I had.
Yep, right? And like, I started giggling because the reason was pretty much it's really hard to put cloth over a circular object.
Stop it. No, that's Oh my God.
Literally. Oh my God. That
like is, there was pictures. Uh-huh. There were pictures in this book.
How to properly do communion with arrows and like
that is how hilarious. To direct
people down the aisles. It's amazing. What? I want to look at this book.
That's not in which book is that in? That's not in the Lutheran handbook, is it?
No.
No.
Not the confirmation, like, satirical thing. No.
Okay.
No, this was, like, the manual for worship?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Stop it.
So anytime there's a hymnal, there's a leader copy or something that
yeah.
pairs with it
yeah.
so that leaders can have a little more depth to it. So that was with the Green Book, with the Cranberry, mm-hmm. the Evangelical Lutheran worship. Very different approach. A lot more meat to it, but not as much technical stuff, which gets to Andy Root's neoliberal discussion of how worship has evolved and been influenced by that since the 80s. Yeah.
Heather might have just listened to the podcast last night. That was a little...
Good old Andy Root. Mm.
But the All Creation Sings and With One Voice, those two have accompanying leader copies
sure.
that dive a little deeper.
That's so, hilarious. So yeah,
there's not a whole lot, but like I'm just farting around on the ELCA website right now, as one does.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And like they have a blessing of graduates an example, yeah. but they talk about how to incorporate Mother's Day or Father's Day or Memorial Day into a worship service while being sensitive to the fact like, okay, well, maybe mm-hmm. some people aren't parents or have an estranged relationship and
right.
how are veteran, like all these sorts of things. Right. So it's a much more nuanced view these days, I think, as to how we incorporate all the miscellaneous items.
Right.
So it just makes me wonder, like, we're going from this, like, 1978, like, here's how, you know, you need to have your rectangular mm-hmm. altar, and here's the picture of how high you should lift your hands when you're, you know, leading worship for different parts.
And how to, like, have the Holy Spirit summoned. Sorry, it wasn't that bad.
But basically. Right, so, like, all these really technical things so that no matter which church you go to,
yeah.
they're, like, pretty much the same. Like, you always know what's happening. You right. always know, like, what to expect and what it's going to look like. But now it sounds like with the ELW, it's more about the content and less about the
how.
More about the what.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Than the how. So, like, I wonder how, it just makes me wonder, like, okay, if you were to go back to, say, the 70s or 80s when maybe it was more standardized, mm-hmm. like, would you have fewer blessings of the backpacks, blessings of the animals? Like,
right.
some of the stuff, like, oh. I wonder, is that newer? Like, are we finding that, like, there's a little more freedom in how, right. what worship looks like in 2023 compared to 50 years ago?
I mean, here's my thought with that. Justin Martyr, our boy Justin Martyr, you know, from however, 2,000 years ago, Jesus time? I don't know. Anyway,
after Jesus time.
Well,
probably. I don't know. I would assume. Anyway.
Anyway. Where was I going with this? Oh, he would probably say, like, nah, you're still good because you got these, you know, four elements.
Oh, right. Whatever makes worship. Yeah.
Gathering.
Yeah.
Word. Meal.
Meal.
Sending.
And everything else is just bonus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So throw in all the bonus that you want.
Right. Hey,
Heather, you were talking about a super fun Lutheran concept the other day.
Oh, gosh.
What was I talking about?
Adiaphora.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Say more.
I did not know what that was.
Right. Okay. So we said that word and Katie's like, huh?
Yeah.
Adiaphora. Okay. So there are some things that like... are required, right? Like these four things that Justin Martyr talked about, like these maybe are the things that are required in order for something to be official or real or whatever. And then there's all this other stuff that like, it doesn't really matter. Like, and that is called adiaphora, mm-hmm. which probably comes from some language that Tom knows.
I believe it's Latin.
That makes sense.
Of course it's Latin.
Right. So that's just hey, like Siri. A super churchy word that gets used sometimes where it's like, you know, somebody might ask a question like, is it okay for pastors to wear a stole without wearing the white robe, the alb, underneath? And like, you'll get people who have very strong feelings, especially on the internet, about the answer to that. But like, maybe actually it's like, meh, adiaphora. Like,
yeah. So it's Greek, actually. And it means indifferent.
Indifferent.
Okay. Right? Like, sure. Yeah. It may add value. It may not.
You get to decide that.
Like, yeah. But here's what bugs me. And looking around, making sure no one's listening. Except for you. And us three. Sometimes people put those adiaphora things on a pedestal. Oh, my goodness.
Like a monument? Like, don't change this. This is this is the important stuff?
Like the proverbial sacred cows. Like,
right.
Man.
I mean, cows should always be up on a pedestal because cows.
Eat more chicken, says Chick-fil-A. No, but like, okay. So, some congregations do not practice communion during Lent.
Yep.
They just don't because we are fasting. We must fast from this sacrament as well. There is nothing in the Bible that talks about that. And yet people live and die by that in certain congregations. And I just don't get it. Like, if anything, during this time, I need a little bit more.
More Jesus.
A little more Jesus, please. So, yeah, there are just weird things that people, like, will literally, like, die for.
And I just don't get it. Make them sacred.
Right.
Interesting.
And we all do it, too. Even if you say you don't, you do. Heather.
I tend to have strong feelings about things.
What? No.
In fact, there was an email yesterday that I responded to and said, is this what we're doing? Because to no one's surprise, I have feelings about this.
That is
what happened. I mean, there are definitely, I think it's easy to take your own experience or what you have, what you value in something and say, like, this is important and it needs to be important to everyone and it needs to never, ever change. Because I like it this way.
So like, here's my question. What if we like didn't do a backpack blessing? Is that something people would be so upset about? Like lifting up kids. It's really like, we're just trying to bless kids before they go to school. It's less of a backpack blessing.
And they get to take a cool keychain with them and put it on their backpack.
I don't know.
Or what happens if we don't...
Have a church picnic?
What happens if we don't, like... What happens if we forget to install the council in worship? Then, like, is that in the church constitution that they have to be installed in worship?
I don't
think so, but like...
Okay, so here's another thing. We're going everywhere. Confirmation students are supposed to be brought before the council for approval. Confirm them on Sunday, and council meeting was the following Tuesday.
Is that a for real thing?
For real.
Yeah.
Like, according to what?
The Constitution.
Breaking the rules.
Invalid confirmation students for the past 50 years.
But yeah, like some of the, I mean, even things, I mean, with, yeah, with confirmation, like confirmation kids wore robes this year, but they hadn't worn robes for the last couple of years, partly, you know, because of COVID and everything was messy. And like, some people have really strong feelings about that. Like, you need to be in a white robe, whatever. So how much of that stuff, like, actually matters?
That's, it's funny that you say that because, so when I was working in Bloomer, instead of doing the stoles, we did prayer jars because, because Pastor Martin and I had talked, we had a long talk about are stoles the most reasonable thing to do? And on one hand, we were like, yeah, they're kind of fun, like they're kind of cool, whatever. And but I brought up the point of, but how much cooler would it be if the kids had something that they could take with them through life? So they, I just had mason jars, and all of the confirmation students got to come in and decorate them one day, and they would be set out, I think maybe a couple weeks before the actual confirmation service, so that people like in the congregation or whoever could, you know, write a little prayer and put it in there. I had like slips of paper and pens, whatever, so they could do that. And then they got to take them home with the hopes that, you know, this is something that they'll take with them, not only throughout high school, but hopefully into college, into later in life, whatever, whatever. And, but there were parents that had a very strong opinion about that, very strong feelings about it. And they were mad that we weren't doing robes or stoles because they weren't going, the kids weren't going to look uniform. And what if somebody was dressed down more than all the other kids and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I mean, there were serious strong feelings about it. And I remember just kind of looking at them and saying, I'm sorry, this is what we have decided to do. And we've had, you know, good luck with it. The last, you know, year, the first year that we did it, people really enjoyed it. The congregation really enjoyed it. So this is what we're doing. And some parents did not like that answer. But at the end of the day, the kids were like, the kids were the ones who were like, this is way more fun than doing those stupid stoles. Yeah, interesting. You're right.
Lame. Interesting. Love stoles.
So I'm pretty sure I still have my stole somewhere, maybe, but I couldn't tell you where. It's probably at my parents in storage.
Okay. I'm going to bring up a really miscellaneous worship thing.
Oh, yes. Ooh,
well, not really miscellaneous, but something on a pedestal that, what about confirmation itself?
Oh man,
right, like Lutheran church, it's not actually a sacrament,
right?
Like, what if kids, like, is that a thing that's on a pedestal, right? Like, or is that a have to thing? There's churches that don't confirm their kids anymore. I mean, is that a have to? I don't know.
Well, and then my thought with that too is, I think growing up for me, it was always, you have to do this so you can be like an adult, a quote unquote adult in the church and, you know, be able to vote and whatever. But what if there's somebody who is never confirmed who's an adult? Like, are they still able to be a voting member? Why is confirmation important?
So other than here's, the education here's what I think. This is what I'm reading off of Tom's face right now, is that we need to have a whole other podcast episode about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it just makes you think, like, why do we keep some things, and why do we, like, move on from other things, and how do you decide what's the most important thing and what to include in worship and what not? And
yeah, it's sorry, the whole confirmation bit. I'm stuck there right now. Is it a rite of passage? Is it a sacrament? Is it, I mean, Lutherans would say no, it's not a sacrament, but in the Catholic Church it is. I guess, like, what personal emphasis are you putting on it? Are you checking a box, or is this part of your lifelong faith formation? I don't know. For a lot of kids, it's checking the box. For me, at that age, checking the box. 100%. I hated every minute of confirmation.
But I think that's the other very interesting thing, too, is, again, going back to Bloomer, something that Martin would always ask parents, like, right away at confirmation orientation is, why are you here? And parents would be the ones to say, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. And he would challenge them and say, why? And parents oftentimes didn't have an answer. And so sometimes I wonder if for them it's just checking a box and, you know, it's what they're supposed to do because it's what they grew up being told.
Well, and I mean, so kind of, I'm going to try to bring us back to our original thought here about this episode of our podcast, thinking about all these blessings and rights and, so for them not to be able, for them to say like, well, this is what we always do.
Yeah.
Isn't necessarily a great reason to continue to do something. But I think that some of the things that we always do without thinking about them, like they're not all bad.
Right.
Like it's not a bad thing to do. Like it's good to think about why are they important? You know, like, okay, why would we bless backpacks? Like, okay, because we want kids to take something with them and remember that God is always with them when they're in school. You know, why would we bless pets? Like, well, because they're an important part of our family and, you know, we value that. So, like, it's not a bad thing to have all these miscellaneous random worship things.
Right.
Yeah. But it is good to think about it.
Yeah.
And to think about why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that's the important part, the why do we do it. Because each congregation is contextually different. I'm just thinking even a church in Eau Claire versus a church in Fall Creek or Rock Falls. Rock Falls, yeah. Like,
that's a place.
Like 15 minutes away, but in a more rural setting.
Sure.
Where perhaps no one's heard of this, but like a Rogation Sunday, which is like a... No?
Okay. No, you said that word before. Yeah, and I'm you like, did. What
is that?
I should stop talking sometimes.
No, now you need to explain yourself.
It's more of like an older practice of more creation care, harvest, planting.
Oh.
So in North Dakota, a congregation, probably 40 miles away, Pastor Val, she is awesome. They did a blessing of the tractors. So like everyone brought their tractor to church.
Yep.
And they do tractor rides for little kids if they lived in town. But they would have a Rogation Sunday. So it was a blessing of the tractors that would go out into the fields to plant. Mm-hmm. And then at harvest time, they would do that again. So it was,
cool.
Yeah. So it was a contextual way to tie in caring for creation, caring for neighbors with feeding people, all the sorts of things through a tractor, much like a backpack and a student.
Yeah.
So it seems like some of these things are ways to like make worship and church relevant for a lot of different contexts.
To make sacred meaning within real life.
Boom. Mic drop.
And that's it.
I want to think about that more now.
I do have a question, and I am guessing it probably has a very obvious and easy answer. But what is the difference between like a blessing, right? So just like a backpack blessing, for example, right? And the rite of affirmation of baptism. Like, why is one a rite, or like a healing rite? Why is that a rite versus a blessing?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't. But I'm sure they're similar.
Sure.
In definition, but I'm going to have to get back to you.
Okay.
I can let you know what the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops says.
Oh.
Because I'm on my computer looking it up.
As we can hear children crying as they walk past our room. Preschool just got dismissed. I don't know if folks at home can hear that.
Life be hard for preschoolers. That's a good question. So I do not know, but I will get back to you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, my friends, I feel like we have sufficiently talked in circles about random worshipy things.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it for the day.
Sweet.
And
But also sometimes worship feels kind of random. So this was fitting.
Right?
This is true.
But it makes me want to think about like, why do we do that?
Yeah.
Those things, random things that we do.
Like, this was a thought-provoking episode.
Right?
I wasn't expecting that coming in here today.
But since we had a very loose idea of what we were going to talk about today.
This is true.
That's right. Okay, but next time.
I'm so excited.
We're going to have a guest. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about music.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait. It's going to be great. So stay tuned. So, all right. We will see y'all later. Enjoy the warm weather.
Bye.